Welcome into the Nebraska Football Show. It's a new week of Husker football getting set for the Huskers to travel out west, take on the UCLA Bruins. Got a big matchup heading out to the historic Rose Bowl. Kyle Crooks here on the Nebraska Football Show, presented by Channel, joined by a very special guest. You know him as Phil Simpson, coaches the outside linebackers and coaches those guys up to get after the quarterback. Coach, it's good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. And it's getting cold around these parts. It'll get a little warm this weekend when we head out to UCLA. But week of practice as you guys turn the page from USC, which was, I think, and you could probably answer this better than I could, one of the better defensive performances that we've seen from the Huskers. Just what are your main takeaways from what your guys were able to do against a very good offense in the Trojans moving forward now to UCLA?
The talent is there. You know, the guys, we have the ability, we got the confidence. Just at the end of the day, you go from the beginning of the season, we got a bunch of guys out there playing new roles, right? And, a couple guys coming in and being new to the program, and then some guys who was here but stepping in, playing bigger roles this year. So it was really just getting through the phase of just working together, gelling, confidence, and just kind of working through the process together. But, they played a good game last week defensively, flew around and kind of worked the edges a little bit, and you saw it kind of show up, and hopefully we just build some momentum from this and keep pushing.
Challenges of coaching a young team, I think that flies under the radar with what you guys have on this roster. It's built for the future, and you guys want to win now, but it's a very young group. What are the challenges of coaching a group that has so much more to learn?
Well, the thing about that is, it's one of those deals, like, once you get that first game under your belt, you're no more a young guy. That's it. You know, there's no excuses. Like, the fan base expect to win, the coaches expect to win, administrations expect to win, the standard is to win, right? And we're not winning because we're concerned about wins and losses. We're trying to win because our day-to-day process just kind of takes us down that road and down that path. So, it's good to have a bunch of, young guys and get some experience and looking really bright for the near future. But, it's no excuse. We got to win today.
And you always want to rally around guys. There's so many injuries that happen in a football season, but I know it's not necessarily your room, but when Dylan goes down, maybe your guys on the defensive side, how they rally around and still rally around somebody like Dylan who's around as a leader, and when you see one of your leaders go down, it can be tough.
Yeah, it's always tough. But, just the reality is you take those situations, they're great opportunities, right? Like, we love Dylan, and he's a great leader. He's a great competitor. And, he have a speedy recovery. But at the end of the day, you take these opportunities to really just challenge yourself and see where you at, right? We talk about Mudita and Ubuntu and things of that nature. We're talking about togetherness and working together and being the unity. So, these are opportunities that you say a lot of things out loud, but when it's time to put it into action, what does it really look like? Does it really show up? And I think this weekend is going to kind of display that and show that challenge that we're willing to rally together and play even tougher and play a little bit harder. Because when you lose a guy like that, every side of the ball, every phase of the game has to kind of step up a little bit, and everybody got to do just a little bit more. So that's the challenge for the guys, for the coaches, for everyone in the building.
How would you evaluate the performance of your guys, the Jack guys, guys on the edge in the game against USC when you watch the tape?
I thought they did pretty good. Obviously, some things, some corrections we had to fix and kind of work through, but we got guys playing through injuries and getting to that back end of that season where kind of just grinding out a little bit. So I think overall we worked the edges. We took care of business in the sense of, alignment and assignment, but some areas are cleaning up. But, we played well. We kind of stepped to the challenge, and I thought we got after them pretty good. So,
in the end, it's all about wins. We know that. But being able to soak in that environment, and that can help you as a pass rush unit, right? Because you can really the clap cadence gets all out of whack for an opposing team. How much did that aid you guys when you look back at it?
I'll tell you what, that was a sight to see.
Amazing,
I've never seen nothing like that in my life. Last year I wasn't here. I was down in Tallahassee and just watching that game against Colorado, and I just remember saying that was pretty crazy. And just being here with the blackout, how everybody embraced it. You saw them down in the USC offense. They, it was 4th and 2 they was going for it. That wasn't the fans made them jump off sides. Mm-hmm. The crowd made them go 4th and 7 and take the 3 instead of trying to go for 6. So, it was an amazing experience. I felt like my ear was popping. I took the headset off. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So it was rocking. It was amazing. This place is phenomenal. Just, I mean, it's one of the things that you try to tell people you're going to road recruiting. You try to show people and show them videos, but it just everyone walks out of here with the same expression, same feeling, same thoughts. They're saying this is a crazy place and something you got to visit and see.
Now, you've been back for a while, but you spent a year at Florida State. You were here in Coach Rule's first year. What does it feel like to be back now?
Honestly, it's amazing. Like year one was my first year out of high school. Mm-hmm. Where I was a father and coach in high school and working in a high school building on a much lighter schedule. So year one, I mean, I was ready to lose my mind. I was ready to run back to
and
high
school. And that's building the foundation right, of the program. Right. I mean, so that's just, not just any year.
Yeah, no. Just between coming in and just the foundation, the process, just trying to change the culture around here and with staff and players and just kind of the whole buy-in thing, just going through year one, me – I was here year one. I left my boys back in Miami. So when you bring up year one, it gives me chills. That's like, that was some tough times right there, man. That was tough. So now it's like we year three. You know, people around the building, they get it. You're starting to see you're starting to see people working the right direction. The process is working, and guys starting to believe in and understand it. My boys moved up here. They live here. They go to Scott and Southwest and Adams Elementary. So it's like it's from one to year three. It's been amazing in my personal life and in the coaching world as well.
How's the family settling in Lincoln? You know, it's a great place to live, and I'm coming from Florida as well, mm-hmm. so it's very interesting to now live here. And it's very much a college town. They're all in on the Huskers. Mm-hmm. It's a little colder this time of year, but how's the family and everybody settling in?
I mean, honestly, like my middle son Nico, who goes to Scott. Born and raised in Miami, but he weirdly loved the cold weather. Like, I thought he was going to be the one. Like, he loved the cold weather. My oldest son plays at Southwest, and he's doing really well, and he loved it here. And, just with everything that was going on the last couple of weeks, they was like, I hope we're in Lincoln. And they just so happy to be here. And so the family's doing great. Wife settled in, and she's getting going with work and stuff. So everything's going good. Everything's going really good.
And you're an incredibly accomplished high school head coach, and that's an incredible area to recruit, the state of Florida. But, you know, taking that jump, what did you learn at the high school level being a head coach that maybe helps you now?
Relationships, the ability to communicate and connect. You know, it's like football, people talk about the next level is transactional and this and that, and all that may be true, but there's still a strong element of relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you talk about guys coming from high school, going to college, and they talk about NIL. Well, that only become a real conversation if relationships are strong and they're right. You know, it's like those kind of go hand in hand, and I still believe in the fact that we're in the business of serving people. That's who we are. We're servers. So from the high school rankings, you come from an element where, you got to figure it out. You got to help get the kids to school. You got to help get the kids home from practice. You got families going through hard times, and I coached a tremendous amount of good players who are doing well on next level right now. And just being part of that and just understanding what that grind is like and knowing what kids go through and having the ability to go into homes a lot more than what a college coach could do right now, you know, with all the rules and stuff. So I just bringing that element of just raw and realness and just truly understanding what's going on. So that's just bringing that element to this level, I think, is important.
Yeah, element of being able to coach guys and meet guys at a personal level, but also the tough love aspect of being a coach. It's a delicate balance, right? Because you want guys to be able to trust you, to go to you for things outside of football, I would presume, but also there's that tough love element. Is that a tough balance for you as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, it could be tough, but I truly believe in, the way you set the tone early and boundaries. Right, like a lot of the players, they call me Papa Simp. I get that a lot of some things. So it's like I joke around with you. I'm probably one of the most playful guys in the room, but, they know when I draw that line, it's about business, and I'm going to give you constructive criticism. I'm going to coach you up. I'm going to guide you through because what's the most important thing is that when your parents decide to let you come here, they expect to wake up every day. And it never works out that way, but they expect you to wake up every day and say, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, school went well, practice went well." They don't want to wake up and hear something bad happen, or "I'm not playing," or "I got hurt," or "there's something on campus happened." Like, they don't wake up thinking of that. They wake up thinking of the best-case scenario. And so the best I could do is communicate with the student-athlete, communicate with the parents, stay engaged with the parents, keep them involved with what's going on, because that connection is everything, because I'm here. I'm help parenting your child, right? That's yep. our child together at this point. So we raising them together, and I call them for all the good stuff and all the bad stuff. My parents know I call them, and they, what's going on, coach? And I tell them how great they're doing that day, right? And it's not going to be bad phone calls only. So I think, again, that I feel like that relationship and having that aspect comes from not only coaching high school, but my background, detention centers, juvenile programs. I'm a foster parent, like all those things, like just the nurturing aspect and understanding the type of people you're working with and what parents expect when their kid is out of state or out of town at a different school. You want to make sure you continue to provide the service.
Yeah, that's a really cool insight into what you do outside of just the coaching on the field. Fans, as a farmer, challenges arise daily with the new enhanced Channel Seed brand. You can tackle them all. Rise to the challenge with Channel. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Also, get reliable propane fuel and lubricants from Central Valley Ag for home, farm, or business. We step aside on the Nebraska Football Show presented by Channel, joined by Phil Simpson. Javen Wright will join us for the final segment as well. Come on back right after this. Welcome back into the Nebraska Football Show presented by Channel. Rolling along, Kyle Crooks, joined by outside linebackers coach Phil Simpson, getting set for another week as the Huskers head out west to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. Interesting venue, coach. I mean, you get to go to a lot of great places in the Big Ten, and you've been around. You're just in the ACC, so you've seen some pretty good venues with Florida State. But the Rose Bowl, that's a unique one for you. Excited about? I know you're all about the matchups and winning the game, but that's a pretty cool setting for a college football game.
Yeah, I think you probably spend the first couple of minutes riding in, trying to see the stadium ride. Yeah. It's what it is, but as you get close to that time, you get so invested to the game, you're invested to the moment, all the scenarios playing through your brain. So, but you do, you know, it's important for everyone, just kind of like that mental health, right? You take a step back and you do got to see where you at, you know, kind of be where your feet are. And then, been a couple of good stadiums, some nice stadiums, some traditional places. And going into this one would be pretty nice too. Looking forward to getting out there and some a little bit of warm weather and just kind of like seeing, you know, seeing this nice sight. So
This UCLA team, it's interesting. They've almost played a tale of two different seasons, right? You know, they start the season on a 4-game losing streak, but really it's those first three games that are a little sideways for them, and then their entire season turns around with the coaching change. And for you, when you look at them on tape, and I'm sure from a UCLA offensive perspective, quarterback that can run, he's their leading rusher. What are some of the challenges that arise here this weekend?
Well, I mean, he's a heck of a football player, right? I mean, he's mobile, but he has a very, very, very talented arm. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, in my opinion, in terms of his ability, his knack to make plays. You give him any windows, he'll take it, right? That's throwing there and running. He's a great talent, and it seems like he's doing a good job of rallying the offense. They're scoring. So, it's the tell of two tapes in terms of cutting it, you know, when you cut it on. But even when at the beginning when it was 0-3, I mean, you saw explosive plays. You saw them make plays. You saw that guy run around and guys try to protect for him and receivers blocking downfield. So, at the end of the day, they got it. They're a talented team, and they got it like a heck of a quarterback. So, you know, we got a good challenge in front of us, and we're excited to get at them.
And they have, you know, design runs, but some of those are scrambles, too. From a pass rush standpoint, do your guys – does that change? Do they have to be a little bit more measured or not be too aggressive to get upfield when it comes to having this specific matchup? Does anything change in what you guys, your guys do?
Yeah, you know, just situationally, right? It's like you get out there and it's – certain down a distance and certain tendencies you look at and say, hey, these are opportunities that we just go, and, you know, we got support on the back end. And then there's opportunities you say, hey, we got to be a little smart and kind of just walk into the little, you know, slower. So, yeah, I mean, he's mobile. I mean, you'll see him step up in A gap, cut through the B gaps. You see him break out wide, left and right. He'll spin out of it. So he don't have a real tell in terms of who he is. He's just an athlete that makes plays, a competitor. So, you know, a guy like him, you just got to be a relentless guy in terms of rushing the quarterback. You got to just keep getting after him. There is no real indicators about what he likes to do in terms of where his escape pocket is. So we just got to be very disciplined and just make sure we approach this game and be as consistent as possible.
What have you liked about your guys this year? Of course, Deson and Dylan Rogers, Jordan Ochoa, Willis McGahee, all those guys that play that Jack hybrid position. How much, what have you seen improvement-wise from those guys?
I mean, it's exciting right now, right? Like, I mean, you saw last week Dylan Rogers get in the game and had some productive plays, you know, minimum reps and a couple tackles with it, right? So taking advantage of his opportunities. You know, mudita is a word that we preach in that room very often. We talk about togetherness and just wholeheartedly supporting each other. And what does that mean in that room? And I make myself very vulnerable with those guys. I'm open about me and my personal life. I'm open, they open with me, and we have great conversations. So when we get out there, you see them kind of like start, you know, making progress and start making plays and having opportunities. I'm not surprised because they put in the bank every day. They work. They go through the process. They you know, make good adjustments in the pass coverages and rushing the quarterback. So, I mean, we're doing a good job, and just got to keep going. Got to finish. Got to finish the right way. Mm-hmm. Got to finish November strong.
Chatting with Phil Simpson, mudita, you've mentioned that word a couple times. I think I've seen that with certain teams as sort of a rallying cry. Can you take me to sort of the definition or the thought process behind that word and what that means to you guys?
I mean, for us, just as simply, just is I will support wholeheartedly without any hesitation my teammates. And even at my own fault, I will support you. Like, at my own loss, I'll support you. So, and it has to be that way in a room like that. It's almost like a tight ends room on the defense side of the ball, right? It's limited. It's limited roles on the field. So you're talking about a room that might have five guys, but there's only one guy on the field. So it can seem like a crowded room at the same time. So to be in that room, it has to be a unique room where you have to, like the quarterback position, right? Mm-hmm. That backup quarterback, he got the clipboard, and he's going to be a positive guy the whole season until his number get called. So similar situation. You can't have guys in that room that's just, they can't be focused on themselves. They got to just be focused on the process and support each other and be happy for each other. And I feel like in our room, we've played throughout the season with like four different Jacks on the field at some point. And a lot of that is because of our process and how we kind of see things and talk about mudita and how we support each other. And it is, you know, as you play the game right and you treat the game right, the football gods work in your favor eventually.
Deshaun, when you look at him, I mean, he's just a portrait of a big-time edge rusher, just the way that he looks in pads and the way he's grown. I mean, he had such a great start to his college career. He comes here to Nebraska. How has he grown as maybe a player and a person, things that people don't see Deshaun McCullough?
He's a great human. I mean, he's a coach's son, so he kind of come in. He understands the process. He understands work ethic. He understands study habits. But what's so great about him is that his ability to process the playbook and kind of just see it. He see the whole, being at Oklahoma, playing out the ball a lot. So when we talk about different coverage things and how we're going to rush the passer, he sees the whole picture. And so he has a good feel. He's an adult in the room. He's a grown man on the field. He's a grown man on the study field. And then, like, the way he fly around in the game is, like, you can see that in practice as well. You kind of can pick any practice. You're going to see the same type of energy, same type of motor. He flies around. He matured a lot at that position from the spring to now. He's made a tremendous amount of progress, and he's grown a lot, and he'll continue to get better. And I always tell him, I am just a street light on this bridge, and you, I'm gonna pass you to the next street light, because he's gonna be a really good player a year or two from now, and I'm just doing my part to help him get to that next phase of life.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at some of the other guys in this room, and Willis McGahee's another one. Of course, the decision to redshirt him, and that's more of looking ahead and looking to his future and what he can be. And, you know, I was somebody, he's another one. You see him pads and he looks like he's ready to go now. But when you see a guy like Willis McGahee, what's his future like in this program? I mean,
he's taking care of business. You know, he redshirting, just taking that time to really continue to work on himself and work on his independent skills and things of that nature. And he's doing a good job at it. He's still at practice every day with good energy. He's still taking care of study hall. He's still in class on time, still good grades. He's doing everything he has to do to prepare himself, because for him, you know, next season starts now. Like, you don't waste these reps. Next season starts now. And so we still talk about film. We still work with each other individually. He still comes sees me. So nothing's changed in that aspect. He's putting in the work. It's just his game is every Tuesday and Wednesday in practice, every Thursday in practice. That's his game. And he got to approach it that way. And he's being very strong-spirited. He's good in the room, he's still engaged, still asking questions about the game plan. He's taking the tests and the review sheets, like if he's getting prepared for the game. So he's picking up good habits, and he's doing a really good job at preparing himself.
You see with a lot of young guys, just the growth in maturity overall and their understanding of how much practice truly does matter, how much film sessions and the seriousness in which you take film sessions on Monday through Friday. and how much they truly matter. But the maturity of the athlete now, when they come in to when they leave in this program, you feel like it's, you know, they take a big jump into whatever they do next because of the way you preach every single day aside from game day?
Yeah, I mean, just take it a step further. You talk about Coach Rhule. Like, recruits come in this building, pretty building, right? One of the best in the country. One of the best fan bases, if not the best fan base in the country. Tons of resources. Everything you think of, this place got off. But I make it very clear to them, this place is hard. Mm-hmm. It is hard to play for Coach Rhule. It's hard to work for Coach Rhule. And the more you buy into the process, you buy into the standard, it will make you a better human. So it's not just about me in the Jack's room. It's this program. This program is built for heart. It's built for guys to be tough and be prepared for life as a father, as an employee, as a husband, and all those aspects of your life. So in the room, I say these things, but I'm just echoing what my head man tells us to do and what we believe in, you know, the instruction he gives and his vision. You know, so it's just I'm just the piece to the puzzle, and just kind of like spreading that love, and just kind of like spreading all the things that supports his program and how he idolizes his program, how it should look moving forward. So, you know, that's you know, guys maturing and going through the process. That if you're going to be here, it requires that.
Yeah, and there's an interesting thing you said in there about, you know, Coach Rhule and your relationship with Coach Rhule. We'll get to that coming up in the next and final segment here with Phil Simpson. As a farmer, challenges arise daily. With the new enhanced Channel Seed brand, you can tackle them all. Rise to the challenge with Channel. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Also, contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. It's the Nebraska Football Show presented by Channel. We wrap it up. Final segment with Coach Simpson is next. Welcome back in. Third segment of the Nebraska Football Show presented by Channel. Kyle Crooks joined by outside linebackers coach Phil Simpson. Javen Wright will join us in the final segment. All right, Coach, obviously a big game coming up here against UCLA at the Rose Bowl, but we've talked a lot about your relationships with players and getting them ready for whatever's next, whether that's being a husband or a father or a professional football player. And that brings us to our Alumni Hall spotlight, somebody who was able to succeed at the next level. And let's take a listen to this highlight, and we'll chat after that.
Play action fake, Kaya back, avoiding the rush, gets thrown down, Randy Gregory, first sack of the year, back at the 16-yard line. There's number four. Welcome to the game, Randy.
All-American, all-conference player Randy Gregory. That was the Alumni Hall spotlight. Alumni Hall is your ultimate Husker shopping experience with the largest and best selection of apparel, vault gear, and tailgate accessories. Shop their two Lincoln locations or alumnihall.com, Alumni Hall, where Huskers shop. You look at a Randy Gregory who came here to Nebraska, coach, and, you know, 10 and a half sacks, sophomore, 7 as a junior, and went on to have had a really good NFL career. What's the success, maybe secret sauce, of getting these guys to understand what it takes to be a professional and play at that next level?
Well, first and foremost, you know, just shout out to Randy.
Pretty good, right?
Florida guy, Jacksonville, so he's part of that Flo-Braska process.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so big time on his behalf for that one. But yeah, no, I mean, again, it just kind of ties back into the Coach Rhule deal, right? It's like the program is built on tough. It's hard, and the day-to-day expectations, right? A lot of guys come in here from other programs, and they might struggle early just because there's no knock to the previous program, but it's a tight ship around here. So I think those things kind of help lead you to that next step in terms of when you get to that next level. You talk to the Ty Robinson, and he'll tell you how just day-to-day, the way he's in the building, the way he approaches, the way he's walking around, and like some of the other rookies in the building versus him is like is not even comparable because of he was able to stick around and go through the process. So, I mean, it's just the guys approaching the game the right way and just learning how to really survive in NFL and just understand what it takes day-to-day, the expectations, playing through injuries, being consistent and being reliable, being accountable, you know, so.
How about your relationship with Coach Rhule? And he was a coach at Temple when you were playing there at Temple. What's he like then and what's he like now?
Well, I'll tell you what, I got stories, but I'm keeping them to myself.
Things that are good for the radio. We don't want to get you in trouble.
Nah. Coach Rhule was, you know, he was my position coach at that time, right? This is before he was a head coach. Mm-hmm. So he was my position coach. And he was, I tell you what, like a lot of, it's so many times that I think back to like my style of coaching, even when I was a high school coach, and how much he impacted me and I didn't know it, right? Like I think about when I was a player and I had issues and the way he approached me, the way he handled me. And I go down and coach high school ball for 10, 12 years. And then I come up here to Nebraska and I go home and I'm calling my wife, I'm calling the family. I'm just like, it's so weird watching his and seeing how he go through everything, because it's very similar to how I was when I was the head coach. And so I picked up a lot of habits from him and a lot of good ones. And, you know, he's you know, just known him for so long. He's been so consistent. He hasn't changed. He's the same human. He just grew some gray hair. He looked a little different. You know what I mean? So, but other than that, he's the same person. He was always a people's person. He was always down to earth. He will always, you know, try to do the best he can to have your best interest. And whatever he tell you, he does not forget. You know, he has a great memory. He's very connected with the people he's in good relationship with. And he always tells us, you know, it's not who you know, but who knows you. And he always talk about, like, you know, his relationship he has with you as much as you have with him, and that two-way street. And so just being here with him, it's been great. But like I said, just known him for a long time. It's just sometimes I kind of laugh at myself just thinking about him back in Temple and things like
yeah.
that. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you just get moments where you're both on the sideline and you're still next to each other doing your thing. But do you have other coaching mentors? I mean, there's some really good coaches on the staff, and I look at a Coach Snow who has so much experience who comes in here and sort of helps the whole operation, I assume. But do you have other guys that have been in your life and your career that have helped you along that stand out?
Yeah, I mean, Snow is funny. So Snow just kind of have like the same tie, same background, mm-hmm. but I never really ran across Snow, right? And so we get here and it just kind of like start spending a lot of time talking. And I tell him, I don't say much to him. I just sit up on him because he's such a smart man. You see guys talk for 10 minutes and he'll just say something and it just kind of like shut everybody up, because what he said in 2 seconds just kind of summed up the 10-minute conversation. So very wise guy, super, super smart, very poised in conversations, right? And a lot of times that's really the biggest thing. And when you're talking football or you're talking about whatever it is you're talking about, he just could come in and just simplify conversations and just make it, you know, just real easy. But other than that, I mean, honestly, like, I grew up watching my dad. My dad was a coach of Little League football. You know, my dad was he was a pastor. We grew up very honest. He was a pastor, had a little truck, and we used to have 20, 25 guys on the back of that truck. He picking up and dropping off every day, and he was a commissioner on the park and watching his connection with the kids every day. And, man, we used to go home at night sometimes, not even knowing what's for dinner a lot of times. But he was so consistent in how he handled people. And so, you know, just that was – he was my first teacher. He was my first teacher in life. And just watching how he handled people, even on his bad days, even on his worst, when I know we struggle at night, our lights get cut off, our water get cut off. I got to go to the neighbor's house at nighttime with a big tubs just to get some water from their water holes without them knowing, you know, just going through a lot of hard times. But my dad was so consistent with how he handled people, how he coached the kids and things of that nature. So between my dad and then just kind of like then my high school coach, Stu Rogers, who passed away, I actually had to move in with him my senior year of high school because I had some home issues, and he was phenomenal. So, and then again with Coach Rule was great. So, you know, those are the three guys I could say that kind of like stand at my plateau in terms of men I look up to and will always respect.
Yeah, the foundation of a life of service, I guess that starts very young for you then. A lot of what you do now has a lot to do with what your dad represented and who he was, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty special. That makes this even more special.
That's right. I mean, it's 100%. Like, you know, he was parents had nine kids, and my older sister had a child at a young age. So we 10 kids living in the house, and dad working by himself and just kind of like, you see us muscling through it. Mm-hmm. Holidays was tough and went through Hurricane Andrew and life was tough then. So we had it rough, but he was the most consistent man I've been around in my life. So, you know, he had all the opportunities in the world to have excuses, but he did. And he grinded through it. So he taught me, he taught me a lot in that aspect.
Does it give you a lot of gratitude for what you have now? Is that a word that's in your life a lot because of what your upbringing was like?
It's a word in my life. Because of him, I mean, Coach Rule talks about gratitude all the time.
Sure.
So it's just, again, it's just he's that streetlight on my bridge right now. So, you know, he talks about gratitude, and my father always talk about gratitude. My father always talk about the power of the tongue, speak death upon your life, be careful what you say, and all these things, and just so hearing all these positive quotes and all these positive reinforcements and despite what you're going through that day, just kind of like help lift me through, and then just seeing Coach Rule be consistent, right? I mean, you go out there and lose a tough football game. It's hard to wake up Sunday morning and dress the guys, and he got to do it, right? Not only the players, you got coaches, you got a lot of guys who are looking for you for guidance, for answers, for support, some moral support to kind of pick us up and get us going. And he does such a good job at that. It reminds me of my father a lot in terms of we are on our backs, but we're going to find a way to get up. Like, it's just – and just kind of experiencing that with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great subject that we went into, and I'm glad we did. Coach, thank you so much for joining us and being open and talking about what's ahead for this Husker team. We appreciate you being here, and welcome back. I know you've been back in Lincoln for a while now, but welcome back to Lincoln with the whole family. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Phil Simpson. Appreciate him joining us on the Nebraska Football Show, the Husker Radio Network Broadcast Center, sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. Big thanks to Coach Simpson. We'll wrap up the program with Javen Wright. That's next. Appreciate Coach Simpson for joining us here on the Nebraska Football Show, presented by Channel. Kyle Crooks back with you. Our final segment of the show tonight, we're going to get a chance to talk to an inspirational story and a story of perseverance. That's Javen Wright in his seventh year of college football, and he's had his best year in his college football career. He's been outstanding, had a great night here inside Memorial Stadium against USC. And originally he was thinking about going to UCLA, but in the end he came here to the Huskers. So this is a special matchup for him as he goes out to the Rose Bowl. So we had a chance to chat with Javen Wright, and here's that conversation. All right, Javen, good to see you.
New
week of the season heading out west to UCLA. How have you liked the week of practice, preparation as you turn the page, getting later in the year now and taking on a good Bruin team?
Yeah, November is always the best time to win a game. It's where games matter, actually. It's where teams come to life. So yeah. We take it day by day, just figuring out what to do, what we need to improve on. So we pride ourselves with the standard, and we just keep going day by day.
Coming off a game where you guys probably played one of your best games, and especially for you, you've continued to improve, but overall as a defense, how much pride do you take in the performance that you had? I know in the end you look at the scoreboard and that's what you're looking to achieve is wins, but as a defense, how have you taken the next step, you think?
Yeah, I think we're improving every year. Every game we improve into a little something. Maybe people don't see it, but we see it in the film room and the way we do things. So every day of practice we go out there and we're trying to make things better, you know what I'm saying?
The environment the other night, incredible.
Yeah.
When you think about being in that, and this is what you come to Nebraska for, the blackout was just so perfectly executed. What was it like to play in it?
It was amazing. It's been a long time since I've wore black jerseys, and especially with the fans coming out with the black, everything black. It was my first time seeing that. I've been here for a long time, so... it was a special moment, something I'll never forget.
When you think about your journey through injuries and medical issues and getting to this point, playing some of your best football, do you take time to reminisce or think about how far you've come?
Yeah, here and there I sit down and think about all the stuff that I've been through, but most of the time it's always pushing forward because I got things to do and we got games to win.
The support that you've had from your teammates throughout all of it, training staff, Coach Rule, what has that meant to you? Is you're still here, again, playing your best football, but the support structure around you, what has that meant?
It's meant everything to me. I'm extremely grateful. They show me so much support, so much words of encouragement. I can't thank them enough.
New game, new test, running quarterback. It's an interesting offense and a team that's playing much better than they were at the start of the year. What do you see from UCLA when you watch them?
It's a great team. They're all competitors. They know how to win now because, I mean, they all they had was themselves, and so they just believe in themselves to the utmost, and you see it in the film and you see it on the field.
You have some California guys on this team, some on the defense. Have they talked about getting a chance to go back home-ish? And TJ, who's making his first career start, heading back to California, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it is pretty cool. We have a bunch of Cali kids. I mean, I'm from Arizona, so I'm not far. So we have a bunch of family members coming, a bunch of other people coming, friends and family. It's cool for them to go back and see people that are far away that usually don't get to get to the game.
Do you know the aura of the Rose Bowl, just the game in general, but playing on that field, is that pretty cool to you? Does that mean something to you?
It's actually my second time seeing it because I was going to go to UCLA before in Nebraska, so I took a trip down there, and it's such a beautiful stadium. It's such a monumental, like, stadium and a place to be. It's beautiful to play, and I'm excited to play there.
Chatting with Javen Wright. So the whole connection of you possibly going to UCLA and now playing UCLA, is that a little weird to you at all? Or, I mean, it's been a while. You've been a Husker for a long time, but do you think about that at all going in?
Yeah, it's kind of like a full circle moment because that was my second official visit my senior year and my last one. And so going back on my last year, one of my last games, it's pretty cool to talk about, a pretty cool story.
Final few, but playing for John Butler, he seems like an energetic guy, and this defense is playing at a high level. What's it like to play for him, it's just sort of his energy and all those position coaches on the defense?
Yeah, he's a very energetic coach, the intensity is always high, the intensity is always there. Just being knowledgeable of the game, what's going on, situational football, that's probably the key to the game, that's probably the key to being successful in this defense.
You and the other linebackers, V9, Marquez Watson, Trent, just all of them, how have you helped guide them along here?
Yeah, they all have their talents, they all have their specific skills that they have. I just try to course through whatever they're good at and give them some tips on what they need to do better and give them tips on how well they're doing.
Well, Javen, appreciate the time, and for those that don't know, this was an interview in a pinch, so you just sort of came over and helped me out. Yeah. So I appreciate you chatting with us, and best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you.
Great conversation with Javen Wright. Certainly he's been through a lot, but he is a leader and an anchor of the Blackshirts this year. Fans Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse, the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Also, as a farmer, challenges arise daily with the new enhanced Channel Seed brand. You can tackle them all. Rise to the challenge with Channel. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Huge thanks to Javen Wright. Huge thanks to Phil Simpson for joining us on the show here tonight. Our coverage on Saturday, it's going to be a late night with the Huskers. It will be a 4 p.m. Central start for Husker game day, and then we'll be on the air with kickoff starting at 8 p.m. Central. The Huskers heading out to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. We are not done here tonight. We still have 1 hour of Sports Nightly. Jessica Cootie will hop in studio and join me for another hour as we talk about the world of Husker athletics. Appreciate Coach Simpson, Javen Wright, Josh for producing. And I'm Kyle Crooks. We say so long for now. Sports Nightly next on the Nebraska Football Show, presented by Channel.